This is case 74184. You know, just refer to it as a win. And Mr. Paulsenberg, if you wish to reserve any time, please so state.
Yeah, Your Honor, I'd like to try to save 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Resolution.
Well said, Your Honor. Good morning, Chief Justice Douglas, and may it please the court. Dan Paulsenberg for the petitioner, Elaine Nguyen.
I think that's enough of an opening. Why should we intervene in this case? We're going to intervene at this stage. There's going to be a trial, or maybe this case will settle, and on a partial record, we've made a very important decision on this issue that's been raised by petitioner. And everybody's going to have this to say. The Supreme Court intervened on this case with very little of a record at a very early stage, just to save a trial date or to make the trial date easier. Mr. Paulsenberg, why should we intervene?
Because there's an issue here that involves the work product doctrine, which is equivalent to a privilege. If you don't intervene and issue prohibition, then Judge Gonzalez's order, and I would submit incorrect order, stands that we have to disclose information that is not disclosable, and we can't unring the bell. I understand your position, Justice Cherry, and some of the 16 petitions that this court has addressed, I agree with you. But this issue involves a bell that cannot be unrung. It's not as though we can say after trial and direct appeal that Judge Gonzalez improperly used the analysis for the work product doctrine, and so it has to be clawed back.
But trial judges make mistakes all the time. We're all trial judges here that sit here. Two in the Washoe, three of us in Clark. We made mistakes when we were trial judges. Does that mean every time we make a mistake, I should come here because it's an important, it's a mistake?
Clearly not. And a month ago, I argued why I thought in that petition it was important. And this, the only reason I think it's important in this petition is because it involves a bell that can't be unrung. I understand there's a great debate about how far we should go in extraordinary writs. And 1984, we shrunk them back down, and now some people have argued that it has grown again. I think in many of those circumstances, and I argued a month ago why I think those circumstances apply in some writ petitions. Many other circumstances, no. Perhaps the court has expanded its jurisdiction, its discretionary jurisdiction, beyond the ordinary cases. But this is one of the ordinary cases. This has always been one of the cases where the court has used its extraordinary jurisdiction to review an issue of whether improper information is being disclosed.
Well, you're really lucky that there's only five of us, because it's a little easier to intervene when there's only five of us rather than seven of us. I can just tell you that. So this is, you got a break here.
I understand.
You got a break on the money.
This is a very discreet issue, and we have even taken the position in our writ petition that some of the issues raised should simply be remanded to Judge Gonzalez. Here's why I think the second part of the analysis, the substantial need, Judge Gonzalez didn't address. I'm not thinking that you have to address it in the first place. I also think that you shouldn't address the transcripts of depositions that Judge Gonzalez didn't address. Now, I moved to strike, and this court correctly said, no, in a writ petition you can raise more things. But I don't think you should get into that. I don't think you should make this petition any bigger than it needs to be. Here's how narrow, I'll say, I think this writ petition is. Elaine Nguyen took notes in the midst of, to use the language from her affidavit, in the midst of her divorce, about some conduct and the use of marital assets that was of importance to her. She even says, let me go, page 369 of my record. In her affidavit, it's a one-page affidavit. Paragraph 3 says, this became an issue in our divorce proceedings. Paragraph 4 says that I typed the notes regarding these conversations I had with these two people related to the allegations of misconduct. Paragraph 5 says the notes were prepared in connection with the investigation of the payment, and I discussed the substance of the notes with my attorney in connection with my divorce proceedings. Clearly, under the totality of the circumstances, these are documents that were prepared as part of litigation. Yes, Your Honor.
I may have two questions. One, did Judge Gonzalez's, I'll say comments in the record that Elaine Wynn did the notes all on her own.
Yes.
Did that constitute a factual finding, and if so, is it entitled to deference from this court?
There's no dispute about that.
Okay, so you agree that was a factual finding by her?
I'll even concede it.
Okay.
She wasn't directed to do the notes, and she wasn't supervised in doing the notes, but we raised in our petition that you don't have to have an attorney do the notes. 26.
Don't you mean some nexus between the action of the individual and the attorney to bring it under this umbrella? Otherwise, wouldn't it just be way too broad? If she's just a free agent in separate from the attorney, isn't that a problem?
I think last month I was discussing whose case a case is, whether it's the client's or the attorney's. It's the client's case. 26B3 actually says documents prepared by or for a party. It actually says, the state rule says another party, or its representative. So it's not just whether it is a lawyer. Courts have accepted that parties can prepare these.
But then the last piece of that same of B3 is to protect against disclosure of mental impressions, conclusions, opinions, or theories of an attorney or other representative of a party concerning the litigation.
Well, the Rules Committee isn't quite done with Rule 23B3. If you look at the state rule, it's one massive paragraph. If you look at the federal rule, it's not substantively different, but it breaks it down into parts. One is whether the rule applies. One part of it is whether the rule applies, and that's all we're arguing here. The second part is, even if the rule applies, if there's substantial need, you can still order a disclosure. And the part after that is, if you order a disclosure, you should make sure that you delete or redact the parts that have the attorney's mental impressions. We only get to that third part if they order a disclosure, and I'm not saying that their attorney thinking, but there are a number of cases that say just the questions asked and what went into would show a party's priorities. But you don't have that issue in front of you today. You just have whether I made a prima facie case of the work product privilege.
Mr. Polsmer, can I ask you another question, just in the interest of time here?
Sure.
Assuming we get to the merits of it, under NRS 50.125, Ms. Wynn, I believe, reviewed these notes before her deposition. Is that correct? Or
no. She didn't review them in preparation for her testimony.
Okay.
In fact, she makes clear in her deposition that she reviewed them in preparation for Art Nathan's deposition. So that she would be, it's sort of like effective assistance of counsel. She's going through and seeing what Art Nathan said before he testifies again to see if there are any discrepancies.
Seeing Mr. Nathan is the same Mr. Nathan referenced in the notes?
Yes, exactly. He was the chief of HR for Wynn. And she reviewed them other times for personal reasons. But she never reviewed them in preparation for her testimony. In fact, they point out several times how inaccurate her testimony is, which makes clear that she didn't review it. Judge Gonzalez denied our protection for three reasons. One sentence, three reasons. She said that Ms. Wynn prepared them on her own, Justice Stiglitz's point, as part of the divorce to refresh her recollection. But preparing them on her own, even if it's for her own use, is not a reason to deny work product privilege. We raise that in the petition. They don't even dispute that.
Mr. Polsenberg?
Yes, Your Honor.
You have commented that we should disregard the deposition transcripts, and you folks spend a lot of time arguing about what is or is not in the deposition transcripts, but I'm concerned about what is included in deposition transcripts at pages 155 through 156 and 157 through 158. And the dialogue is, what other reasons, referring to why she referred to the notes? She says some may have been in conjunction with litigation. Did you mean this litigation? Answer, today? Yeah. When you just used the phrase, some may have been in conjunction with litigation, did you mean this litigation? Answer, I meant my cross-claim amendment. Okay, all right. And so you refreshed your recollection with the notes to prepare your cross-claim. Is that what you are saying? Yes. Why doesn't that testimony indicate that the reference to the notes that she prepared in connection with her divorce proceeding were used by her in preparing for and participating in her deposition in this case?
No, that wasn't to prepare for her deposition. That was to prepare for the claim itself. You're allowed to... You know, one of the things Judge Gonzalez said is you can't use notes to refresh your recollection and have them come under the work product privilege. Well, let me ask the question rhetorically. Well, why else do we ever take notes? That's to make a recording so we can consult with them later. At the time she made the notes, and that's all that's relevant for my prima facie case, she did it in conjunction with the divorce litigation. She didn't even know that these other causes of action were going to take place. The retaliation hadn't occurred. They hadn't entered into a contract that the breach of which is the basis of her cross claims. But even though she used it for other purposes, either personal or as part of this litigation, as long as she didn't use it to prepare for the litigation and prepare for the deposition, for any testimony, then the privilege is not waived. I think what we're doing is conflating concepts of the doctrine itself and its waiver. It wasn't really an issue of waiver, and Judge Gonzalez, I don't think, went into whether it was waiver. She was just going into the concept that you don't prepare documents to refresh your own recollection, and those aren't covered by the privilege.
You're at 338, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'll serve the balance of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Mr. Weiss?
And Mr. Bice, if you would start by responding to what I challenged Mr. Holzberg on about why we should not intervene at this time on this particular record as the record stands.
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice, members of the court. May it please the court, Todd Bice on behalf of real parties of interest. Justice Cherry, I would submit the reason that the court shouldn't intervene in this particular matter, even though it does fall within well within the contours of this court's traditional written review criteria, and that it involves a claim of privilege or akin to privilege. You shouldn't, because the district court's decision in this case is largely an assessment of the district court's view of the facts in the contradiction between Ms. Wynn's original deposition and Ms. Wynn's later offered declaration prepared by counsel to try and make a claim of work product after Ms. Wynn had already testified about the notes. So this is not one of those cases that, in my view, falls outside of appropriate writ review because it does involve a claim of privilege or work product doctrine. The reason that it should be rejected here is simply on the record itself. The record itself is Ms. Wynn was asked about these notes at her original deposition. She at no point in time said that these notes were prepared for her divorce case or even in conjunction with her divorce case. In fact, when she was asked questions about them, she would testify that the notes were personal, and when she would access them for personal reasons. So there was no evidentiary basis upon which to be claiming privilege. And I would note, by the way, they were never on a privilege log originally. So then when the notes were sought, finally, when she was pressed on this, she offered up a privilege log at long last. And then when the motion to compel came, for the first time came this declaration from Ms. Wynn, now saying, well, these were prepared for my divorce proceedings, etc. Even though she had testified in her first deposition, well before the motion to compel was filed, she's the only one that has these notes. She never shared them with anyone. She never showed them to anyone. And she had only, in the context of this case, had shared the contents of those notes, or at least some of the contents with their notes, with her counsel, in, I think, to Justice Hardesty's point, in her later deposition, where she acknowledged that it was used in conjunction with preparing at least part of her cross-claim. So the notion that originally, so when the district judge addressed this, the district judge saw a deposition testimony from Ms. Wynn in no way, shape, or form laying any foundation for any claim of work product. These were notes prepared by Mrs. Wynn for her personal use. And so when the district court starts the hearing, as she did, with the observation of how is anyone claiming, or words to the effect of how in the world is anyone claiming work product over these particular notes, I think that's what the district court was getting at, because it's only Ms. Wynn's after-the-fact declaration that came in conjunction with her opposition to the motion to compel, where she's now trying to lay a foundation for some work product. And so the reason, again, I don't believe that there's any dispute about the law that applies here, and I actually agree with Mr. Polzenberg to this extent, that generally speaking, it is not a prerequisite under all circumstances that an attorney has to be involved in order for a claim of work product to attach. I actually think that that is the law. It certainly is in the federal courts. But it certainly is still a factor that the district court can look at. And under this court's articulation of the standard in Wynn Resorts, where the court has said, you know, you have to look at the nature of the document and the factual situation in the particular case to determine whether or not that document, it can be fairly said that that document was prepared because of the prospect of litigation. So was a lawyer involved? That certainly is a factor to be considered by the district judge. The district judge observed there were no lawyers involved. The district judge observed that Ms. Wynn, by her own sworn testimony in her deposition, had prepared these notes solely to remember past events. And by the way, she admitted that later when she had said that she looked at these things, and I can't remember her word, I had to admit, I had to look it up in the dictionary when she used it in the deposition. I think she used the word reverie, which I guess means, I didn't know this at the time, means to look back, remember past events. That's the only reason that she ever offered until the motion to compel was filed to prepare the documents. And so that's why the district judge, I think, quite rightly denied the motion, or denied her claims of work product and ordered the documents to be prepared. Ms. Wynn has the burden on this to establish the claim of privilege. And as this court knows, claims of privilege, and as this court has held, claims of privilege have to be strictly construed because they are an obstruction to the search for the truth, and they are, when allowed to be asserted, they can sometimes garble the truth. Well, in this particular case, Ms. Wynn certainly did not meet that burden. Her self-serving declaration after the fact was not only in conflict with her original deposition, and as we have pointed out in our supplemental or in our answer, her later deposition was even worse, quite frankly. Completely contradicted all of the statements in her own self-serving declaration, where she admitted it had nothing to do with litigation, where she admitted that she simply reviewed this document, it's a personal matter, she doesn't even have it saved electronically, her lawyers don't even possess it, she has copies of it spread around and saved in various places. This is a very personal issue to her, I understand it, but that does not convert facts and her discussions with witnesses into work product. And that is ultimately where the district court, I think, came down on this, and that leads me to one of the issues that I did notice in the briefing here, I don't think, quite frankly, either of us really addressed this point, is what should be the standard of review for this court of reviewing this question? This court has at times said reviews of claims of privilege can be de novo, such as when it involves the question of a statutory interpretation. In one of the Sands-Jacobs cases, this court said that. At other times, and including in Club Vista and in Coyote Springs, where the court is addressing, should the claim of privilege be sustained on the record presented to the district court, this court has reviewed those for abuse of discretion. And I would submit that that has to be the standard by which the district court's ruling here has to be assessed. Was it an abuse of discretion on this record in light of Ms. Wynn's earlier deposition testimony, where she made no connection between these notes? And she made it pretty clear in her testimony that these notes were just purely personal to her for her to recall past events. In light of that, can it be said that the district court abused its discretion in rejecting the claim of work product? And I would submit that the court should answer that in the negative. There is no abuse of discretion here by the district court. I will turn just briefly to the alternative that we have proposed, even if these were work product, the district court didn't reach this question because it concluded that they weren't. We do believe that even on the existing record, there's already been a showing of substantial need for this information. Mr. Nathan was deposed about this. Mr. Nathan admitted he could, this was so long ago, he cannot recall the substance of that communication with Ms. Wynn. Now, ordinarily you would say, well, that's not, that doesn't, why does that rise to the level of substantial need? And I'll tell the court why it does in this case. Because Ms. Wynn testified under oath that based on her notes, there's a discrepancy, she claims, between Mr. Nathan's testimony and what she has written down in those notes. She has put that at issue by saying that Mr. Nathan's recollection is faulty. And that, so she's sitting on these notes, which she is now saying gives her the basis to claim that he has a discrepancy in his testimony, but she won't tell us what that discrepancy is because she claimed that her notes are privileged. So we believe that on the record presented thus far, even as it currently constitutes, even if you ignored her later deposition testimony, the record would support a finding of substantial need. And with that, I know I have additional time left, but unless the court has questions of me, I don't need to take up any more of the court's time on this.
Anything additional?
I thank the court for its time.
Thank you, Mr. Weiss.
On this record, I've heard that a couple of times, both from Wynn Resorts and from one of the justices. And I started by saying that's the problem I have, the record that we have here. If you look at the transcript, it gets less than a page in a hearing where a number of other issues were involved. Wynn Resorts didn't even argue because Judge Gonzalez started out by telling us that we don't get work product privilege because she made them on her own, and Wynn Resorts concedes that's wrong.
What is the standard of review on this case?
I don't think the standard of review is abuse of discretion. They raised this in their brief that should be abuse of discretion because it's discovery. I think we'd be looking at different standards if the judge had made a resolution of certain factual findings. She didn't have to make the determination that Elaine Wynn made these on her own because that's not disputed. But there were factual issues here that she never addressed. And repeatedly we had suggested, and repeatedly we point out up in front of this court, we offered to turn over the notes to Judge Gonzalez so she could review them so that she could see that they were made as part of the divorce. But oddly enough, Judge Gonzalez didn't have to review that because her second determination for saying why the doctrine didn't apply is because she said that Elaine Wynn made these as part of the divorce. But yes, if you make them as part of the divorce litigation, they're still entitled to work product protection. But to Judge Gonzalez, that didn't seem to be in dispute. All she was saying was, if you make notes to refresh your memory, that is not something the work product doctrine applies to. But clearly it does, because that's why we all make notes, is to refresh our memory. And again, I say, she conflated the concepts of waiver and a prima facie case. Look, the totality of the circumstances test is one where you look at everything that took place. You look at the context of the document and the contents of the document. Judge Gonzalez didn't look at the contents of the document. The context, they're in the middle of litigation. All right. Remember, 26B3 has two things. It's not just in anticipation of litigation. It's anticipation of trial. Because if you're in the middle of litigation, you don't need to anticipate litigation because it's ongoing. But when they kept asking questions of Elaine Wynn about whether she was anticipating litigation, anticipating this litigation, anticipating her counterclaims, no, she wasn't anticipating this litigation. Was she anticipating the other litigation, the divorce litigation? That's a fine point, because if you're in the middle of it, in the midst of it, you're not anticipating it. But the work product doctrine still applies. So did I make a prima facie case? And Your Honor, the parts of the deposition she referred to are properly part of the record. But I do think at 157 of my first volume of the appendix, what she's saying is she did not think she would have this litigation at the time she made the notes as part of the divorce litigation, but yes, she looked at the notes in order to prepare the litigation itself. But that kind of use is not something that gets rid of the work product. Is this the same form she would have used in the ordinary course? This is not the kind of thing that happens in the ordinary course of business. This is something that came up in the divorce litigation, and frankly, this information had come up without the divorce litigation, it may have caused the divorce litigation. So I think the work product privilege applies. Thank you, Ms. And it's a simple record. I think all you need to do is vacate and remand to Judge Gonzalez to properly apply the principle. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. As of this matter, I was failed to mention that Justice Pickering and Justice Perrier will not be participating in the outcome of this matter. This matter stands submitted, I think.